You see people out that are probably not supposed to be out at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Those are the characters.
Like, I think my North Star in life has always been, what do I want to look back on one day?
I think you have cancer. I'm like, no, there's no way. And this was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I call my wife and my best friend CJ, and CJ's like, you're gonna be fine. And my wife's like, Joe, stop playing. I said, I'm not playing.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Smokeless. I'm Nick Pincus from Stanley's Famous Pit Barbecue in Tyler, Texas. If you're new here, this is the podcast I do with my good buddies, Justin Forton from Pecan Lodge in Dallas, and of course, the infamous Wayne Miller from Louis Mueller Barbecue down in Taylor. We dig into the real people and stories behind barbecue. This is where we share honest, no BS conversations about life, purpose, burnout, creativity, and the grind of building something meaningful in and far beyond the barbecue pits. Whether you're in the barbecue industry, chasing a dream, or looking for real talk that cuts through the noise, welcome to Smokeless. Wayne and Justin are both out this week, so for this episode, we picked three of our favorite moments from the Smokeless Vault. First up, chatting with Aaron Franklin, Franklin Barbecue down in Austin. Aaron talks about legacy and how he wants to be remembered. Then we're going to talk to Joe Zavala, and he's going to share a story that really hit us hard, opening up about cancer, family, and fighting through it all. And then we're going to finish at Snow's Barbecue, looking at what nobody sees behind one of the most iconic barbecue joints in the world. These are three conversations we're really proud of. Let's get going with Aaron Franklin.
I would much rather build a new restaurant with the same people than keep the same restaurant with all new people.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, like, 100%. It's really the people and how much they care and how well they get along and how much they care for each other and what they're doing and how passionate they are about it. Like, if we took, you know, the 11 cooks that are back there, if we took all those guys out, this place would just fail immediately. Like, there's no way. And we couldn't necessarily hire people because then you're just like, you're fixing bad habits.
Yep.
Like you're yep. doing all yep. the stuff.
Oh, it's so true.
So
you don't like to hire people who've had previous commercial experience.
I sure try not to.
Or cook-off experience either.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
Like really, I tend to hire people that obviously have good work ethic or honest or kind. Like there's like a few like huge boxes that we have to check off. And then if somebody's got like a little bit of barbecue experience at another place, sometimes I'll be like, oh yeah, like you're a good person. Like you'll fit in.
Right.
You know, and they'll really just
they can take
be
instruction
part of the family
and incorporate it.
Yeah. Totally like
and smart, they care
all the things. And it's really about caring. Like if
it's just, all about like, care, right? I mean, you can't teach it.
Yeah. But if it's like somebody that's coming in, maybe a little cocky, like, oh yeah, I worked here. I worked there for 3 days and I know everything. It's like, nope, you're not the right person for us.
Yeah,
it's
right,
always a red flag for us. Just
absolutely.
In, you know, with experience or somebody wants to come in. That,
yeah, I don't want
specifically
your
to work in the pit room.
I want you to work ethic.
Yeah, we've never hired anybody specifically to work in the pit room. They've always come into the kitchen and we watched them work there.
Before you let them.
Like, you.
Yeah.
I think you can do this, you know.
Like, I think my North Star in life has always been, what do I want to look back on one day? Like, about myself. Like, do I want to look back and be like, oh, man, like, you know, made all this money, did this, but I was kind of mean to a couple people. Like, that doesn't feel good. Like, I want to, if I'm making a decision on, like, what to do in life, you know, like, if it's to open a restaurant or, you know, philanthropy or whatever, it's like, the question that I always ask myself is, like, what do I want to look back on when I'm old? You know, and if it's something that I think I'm going to look back on and be like, yeah, that was a cool move or like be proud of, then I'll do it. And if it's something that I'm like, eh, that doesn't fit, I was like, then it's just not for me. But I think really at the end of the day, I would like for people to think of me as just being a nice, kind person and really not much more than that.
Yeah, like, but you know, but people are going to label you.
Yeah, they're gonna.
Right, and they're gonna see you in a certain light. And it's up to you to a great degree to craft what that looks like and what that presence is.
Yeah.
And so they're always gonna associate you with this sort of Mount Rushmore barbecue
figure. Barbecue thing.
Yes. How about that for you? Is that what you want to be remembered as?
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, that's great. And I'm certainly proud of all the barbecue stuff. I mean, like,
yeah.
I've just been so incredibly lucky and blessed with everything. But I think for me to kind of be like, you're just like, oh, he's just a barbecue guy. Like, I'm not just a barbecue guy. Like, no. Weld things, build mm-hmm. things. I love architecture, do other restaurants. I cook, you know, like I do a lot of carpentry. Like, you know, I like to build things. And I think, you know, and also like to help people. And also, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm into. So I really don't know. I think if I was just thought of as just the barbecue guy, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's one of many things mm-hmm. that I'm really passionate about. But I don't think it defines me as a person. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think really at the end of it, just being a nice guy, like somebody that like, man, he's a really nice and cool dude. What the heck did he even do?
And I love that you brought that around, because the whole point of starting this with the list of all the stuff was like, hey, this is how you're kind of seen, but I know that you're more than that. Like, I've always thought, yeah, you're an incredibly nice guy. And that was kind of...
Get on my bad side, buddy.
That was kind of going to be the follow-up, though, is like, well, you know, if someone you're meeting for the first time who has no clue about any of that, like, who do you say, like, if they're like, so what do you do? You know, like,
you know what my response always is, and I love it when this happens. You're like, oh yeah, so what do you do? Like, I just work in restaurants.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. Like, were you a server? Like, are you cook? I'm like, yeah, kind of maintenance guy.
Yeah.
You know, like I always downplay it pretty, yeah. pretty hardcore, you know? And then, you know, a couple seconds later, they'll be like, you know, and then it gets weird. But yeah, usually like, what do I do? I'm just like, I just kind of dabble with all things dabbleable. You know, I'm a tinkerer and right. I like to just do rando stuff. Like I run a festival, like I do so many different things, like, you know, but yeah, you're like, what do you do? Oh, I just work in restaurants.
What do you think about your position being a former number one, now being out of the top 10? Where's it?
I hadn't looked at the issue.
Well, the reason I
no.
Blinders on.
The reason I like asked that, because Snows is in the same boat.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, well, what has changed?
Are any of us in the top 10?
No.
Okay.
No. So what do you think has changed? Why it's consistent or more consistent now than you were then? What is changing such that this list would change that dramatically?
Well, I think it has everything to do with the fact that, and, you know, and all of us are probably more consistent and probably better than we've ever been. But it's not new anymore. Like we've been doing it for 15, 20 years. And it's just not new. Like we were new 10, 15 years ago, and that was really exciting, you know, and same thing with us. Like, you know, it's just, it's not new anymore. And I think now there's a newer generation. I mean, obviously we're the old guys, but there's a newer generation that have brought back in, you know, like other cuisines and like all the stuff that's kind of going on, which is awesome. But yeah, we're just not new and shiny anymore.
Right.
You know, but I do think that a lot of those places, you know, like Snows and like a lot of these really iconic spots, I don't feel like they should be in the top 50 outside the top 10, just anywhere random. Like, I think that there's a space where you have like a Hall of Fame kind of situation, you know, and I feel like, and I don't write magazines, so I'm not the guy, but, you know, I feel like, you know, top 10 is always like your new kind of hot stuff, you know, and it's like whatever's going on there. And I honestly haven't looked at the magazine. I know Evan and Ernest are in the top 2 spots, and I 100% support them both. Like, they're freaking great guys and freaking great restaurants.
Right.
No doubt. But, you know, I think there's a, you know, like they do it for the American Royal stuff. Like, it's the Hall of Fame, you know, and I feel like that would be sort of a natural kind of progression for that.
Man, hearing Aaron talk about legacy is pretty powerful, especially from someone who had that kind of impact on barbecue. Next up, Joe Zavala. This was one of the most honest conversations we've had on the show, and it really hit us hard.
I go to the doctor on that Wednesday, and I'm like, hey, I know I'm here for sciatica, but like, I think I tore my rotator cuff. He does a test, like, yeah, you probably did. Let's do MRI. So that Black Friday, I do MRI. And then that following Tuesday, I go to the doctor. I'm like, where the hell is this doctor at? And he walks in, and he looks at me white as a ghost. He's like, I think you have cancer. I said, what the fuck did you just say? I said, no, I got a torn rotator cuff. He's like, nah, I think you have cancer. I'm like, nah, man, nah, there's no way. And this was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I call my wife and my best friend CJ, and CJ's like, you're gonna be fine. And my wife's like, Joe, stop playing. I said, I'm not playing. I go home and I pass out like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just like, what else do you do, right? I just pass out. And then, so we go to the specialist, and he's like, you just have a giant cell tumor, it's fine. We just got to take it out. I said, okay. I said, can we do it today? He's looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, let's take this motherfucker out right now. He's like, no.
Where was it? Where is it?
It was in my rotator cuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the tumor was in there. And so I asked the doctor, I'm like, hey, I'm like, so when can we do it? He's like, let me go check. He's like, get you in tomorrow. So, all right, let's go. So, you know, I go there and we're pre-op and I'm asking the doctor, hey, if it's cancer, how long is the surgery? He's like, we're not going to talk about that. I said, how long is the surgery if it's cancer? He's like, 45 minutes. I said, all right. So I go into surgery. I wake up and ask the nurse. I said, hey, how long is my surgery? She was like, 50 minutes. I said, fuck, I got cancer. So then my wife walks up with my best friend and I'm like, I got fucking cancer, huh? And they're like, yeah. So well, can we get some tacos? So we went to my house and I think we ordered like 100 tacos and we just like ate them. So then they set up two doctors for me. And because, you know, Justin, I'm a project manager and program manager. So, you know, it's just like, come on, like, let's roll.
Going, yeah. Like.
So I'm like, hey. So the first doctor we were able to get, or my radiologist doctor, we were able to get in quickly. But my bone marrow doctor, for my blood cancer, like I couldn't get in. And granted, I'm talking 12 hours or 8 hours, like not like, oh my God. So I get into the first doctor and like, he's like, we're talking. He's like, there's really nothing I can do. Cause I'm just like, my stuff's more for pain. He said, you really need to see the other doctor. And then we started talking about like, barbecue. He said, I was like, yeah. So I got a barbecue joint. He's like, you do? I was like, yeah. And he's like, has Daniel Vaughn ever been there? I was like, actually, he has. He said, we're a flawless brisket, blah, blah, blah. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, whenever you want to come by, I'll take care of you. And he said, hold on one second. He goes outside. He comes back and say, I just talked to Doc. I'm going to take you up the ride. He took us to private elevator. And so, like, literally, barbecue got me to the doctor that I needed.
Opens doors.
And sure. Now, like, me and my doctor are best friends, Dr. Berryman. I'm actually doing a free barbecue class on Saturday, $50 donation. We're up to, like, 75 people. And all that money's going to, he has to do, he got a 10-year award for Blood United. So we're helping him raise money for that. But then this thing of COVID happens, right? And I have cancer and I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? So I was with walkie talkies and shit during service. And then at nighttime, like I was cooking the briskets while no one was there. And then we're rocking and rolling and everything, you know, trying to figure out. And then we had the ice storm in February of 2021, destroyed our restaurant. Our restaurant's 800 square feet, like inside. They had to redo the whole sum, bitch. It was like $150,000 in work. And then we get back open in April. We're like really focused on making the list transparently. That was our dream, make the list, right? And we're laser focused. And, you know, we made the list in October 2021. And truthfully, like, it was the first time that I lived in the moment and like really appreciate it. Like I didn't even have my phone the whole day. I was just like, oh my God, all the hard work that my friends and myself and the heartaches and the, what are we going to, like, how are we going to pay our bills? Like, you know, I took out a $200,000 loan from SBA Economic to keep all my employees because I want them to be there, and just all the accumulation of everything. And we did it. It's like, oh my God, like we put our minds to it. We did it. And then, you know, we just kept on going along and everything was great. And then, you know, around as we, I think it was probably, I think Daniel wrote an article about how barbecue joints couldn't sell barbecue like in summer of 23. And there's a lot of truth to that because, you know, I think that's when the platters kind of died because people don't have money. And, you know, July of 23, we're down to my last $6,000 in our checking accounts for Zval's Barbecue. And I said the first time I ever touched my personal money, I was going to shut it down. Because I'm just like, I'm not going to touch, like, I'm not bringing, like, once you start doing that, you're
it's like
as
changing.
Much as you want to believe in yourself, like, you're already too far gone. Like, there's really nothing to it. Like, I think we had like $120,000 of credit card debt. Then we had that $200,000 economic loan. Mm-hmm. And then we had $6,000 and we had nothing on net terms. We had no line of credit. And like, I was literally paying the credit cards off so we could charge the credit cards, right?
Right.
And then I brought a fractional CFO, one of my good friends. And I'm really pissed off because during COVID, the first thing he told me, he said, Joe, you have to let go some people. Like, you cannot afford this. I'm like, oh, we'll figure it out. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I should have fucking listened to him. We're down to our last six G's and we pivoted to plates. Plates is like 60% of our business, uh-huh. Maybe 70%. Like, we have repeat customers, like, on the weekly, because they get to pick wherever they want, and they're happy. We give them value. We give them a Coke, and they're so happy. And that happened, and then we got really fortunate. We got an American Airlines Center. We're at Section 121. We negotiated that contract. Like, I'm not even kidding you. In like 1 week, because as you know, you're dealing with these big guys, next one up, who's going to be next, right? Like, right. You can't figure it out. So we made it really easy for them. My lawyer was awesome. And that was like our turnaround. Like, you know, we're like my CFO, like I cuss him out all the time because we get in fights because I want to do stuff. And he's like, the math, no math. But it's also great because he could be the bad guy for things. And that's like, any advice I give to somebody is like, when you open up anything you do, not just a barbecue joint, you got to treat it as a business from day one. Because if you don't, you're more likely going to fail. Because as much as I want to say it, like, it, but I'll say this though, kind of to your point, Justin, like, if my CFO always jokes, he's like, if you would have shown me what your business plan was, I would have told you, don't do this. So it takes a little crazy to mm-hmm. do it. And it takes some gut to do mm-hmm. it. But then when you get to a certain part, it takes some smarts to do it. And as much like I have my MBA, I thought I was a business guy, right? I'm a consultant. I'm smart. None of that shit matters until you're doing it yourself, because it literally, you have to make the choice what's best right. for your organization. And now, like, I have people like, this is their career that works for me, right? Like, they're supporting their family. Yeah. And like, you know, we get vacation now. I'm literally have a meeting tomorrow to try to figure out the insurance thing, because a lot of my people are getting over 25 and like, I want them to stay here. So I'm like, all right, I got to figure out how to just get you some kind of coverage to be there for the, oh my God moments. Right.
Right.
Cause mm-hmm. like, you know, I have cancer and I get it. Like every time I go is $36,000. Right. And like, I can help you with the deductible. That's $20,000. I can't help you with the $500 to $1 million bill. Right. So
it's insane.
It's kind of crazy. Like, where I'm at now, it's like, you know, I was like figuring who I am, what we are. And then I'm like, oh my God, like we're a business. And Justin, like, I like, you know, you are a business here in DFW, uh-huh. Nick uh-huh. and Wayne, you've been through it all. And you know, I listen to you all stuff, cause you got your shit dialed in from numbers. Like, you're one of the only people I know that don't go by briskets. You go by weight. Everybody else goes by briskets. Right. And you know how much weight you need to make, and but you're dialed in. And that's ultimately like where we're at now. You know, it's been great. We have FIFA coming up. We're going to be open 30 days straight. We're only 5 miles away. So I said, let's try it out. Worst case scenario, it doesn't work out. We can still close, right? So this didn't work. But we're going to go all in. We're 5 miles away. And what does everybody want when they're flying in? Texas barbecues, right. Tex-Mex. Mm-hmm. Like Zavala's barbecue, even when I was going through my treatment, like I have all my numbers, my cancer numbers behind the smokers that are still there. Like I didn't, when I had my cancer, I didn't get to think about my cancer. I was thinking about Zavala's barbecue because during COVID, right? like Zavala's Barbecue is a kid. It was a baby of mine. Like we have to feed it. We have to give it some discipline. We have to give it some love. And ultimately, like, it provides, yeah, it provides financially, but emotionally it provides happiness. It provides, like, you know, I had to do, this sounds really weird, but like when I talk about, I feel more like we had to do a catering for the IndyCart. We did the Toyota racing team, and it was 3 days for breakfast and lunch. We don't do we had to do like real food, right? Like it was like chefy stuff. And I'm like, chef, I can't do this shit. He's like, you can do it. I'm like, all right, well, we'll figure it out. And my team crushed it. Like we had to do that. Then we had to feed family meal for 450 people for them out there. And then I leave before the race starts, and I'm getting in my car and I start sobbing because we kept the restaurant open and they got crushed. I was there with my team because I'm not going to make my team do anything that I'm not going to do. I was there cooking with them. I was there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was there until 11 o'clock at night. Like, cause we had to go pick up all the stuff. And I just started sobbing because I'm like, wow, like we did it.
Chatting with Joe was one of the great moments we won't forget. It's honest, emotional, and says a lot about the kind of man he is. He's a great dude, great friend, great barbecue guy. Up next, we're going to Snow's Barbecue down in Lexington. We're going to talk to Carrie and Tootsie, where the story isn't just about the line or the legend.
And we're so blessed with our format, Saturdays only, and, you know, that's why we've kept it just like it is, you know, one day a week. That's what worked as a part-time gig, and that's still what works today.
What is it that you guys see out here from all the time being up here by yourselves before then and since? What do you see here that no one else really ever sees or will understand?
Usually a discussion of what this was before, or, you know, how it was 50 years ago, you know. I'm 59 now, and I got a decent memory, remember a lot, but we have a lot of good discussions of around here of what, you know, what it was before and how times have changed. But, you know, on a Friday night, it's, and you know, in cooking, it's just, it's different every week, you know. But looking at the area, I mean, a lot of it's just how times have changed. And
well, how are things different when you had your place? How was cooking different? How was serving different? How were your guests different, or were they?
Not a lot.
You were outside, you know, then too, right?
Huh?
Were you cooking outside as well then?
Oh,
too,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you still had some of these.
Didn't have people coming in like they do now.
Yeah.
They didn't come. I mean, we'd have a few people. Alcoa went to work at 7, 8 o'clock. They would stop by and pick something up and take with them to work. Or when they got off at 7, they right. would pick something up to take home with them.
Yeah.
That was our early trade. Where now they're here waiting for us to open up. Back then, I was waiting for them to come mm-hmm. because customers would straggle in, but the greater number didn't come in until 10:30, 11 o'clock to get it for lunch.
Mm-hmm. And part of your menu was different then, like your, you know, our pork. She liable to have steaks from an inch thick to 2.5 as we have today, but that was to have ready for them early workers.
Early birds.
And, you know, she knew in her mind who's coming. She'd know who's coming in that day for the most part, you know.
Yeah.
But
like we used to have a guy who ran our place for a good number of years named Fred Fontaine, and every morning he'd leave about 7 o'clock to go to the downtown cafeteria to go have breakfast. And he would leave the shop, and there would be about 5 or 6 of the church elders from St. Paul Lutheran's church would sit up in the front table near the front door and drink coffee and have yesterday's dried sausage. And whatever that they went to pick, They would just leave a quarter up on the counter or whatever, and it was honor system, and they watched the store while Fred was out having breakfast. And the rest of the, I mean, the place was wide open, and you know, it's, but it was a different time. I mean, people just did these things.
It was your hometown.
I mean, your customers were, you knew most of them.
You knew them.
Trust them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. And they were as predictable as the sunrise. And, you know, you saw them, you did. You saw them at church. You saw them during the week. You saw them, they would come in from there. They might work across the street or down the block or just up a couple of blocks. They all work downtown as well.
And you do see a lot that you're not supposed to see at 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, where her market was a little on a little busier street, but you see people out that are probably not supposed to be out at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Those are the characters, right?
Yeah.
One of our employees came home at 4 a.m., drove right by the shop.
Oh, no.
Had to be at work at 7.
Yep, you knew where to find them. But, you know, at that time, I there was the guy who owned Taylor Meat Company at the time, Zimmer Hansel, he was telling me a story once about back when I was young. Yeah, you know, somebody didn't come into work. I'd go to their house, knock on their door, have their mama let me in the house. I'd go to their bedroom, pull them out of bed, and drag them off to work. They just, whatever they were wearing.
And that's probably so true. You didn't, you believed it 100%.
No. I did. And he's like, no, that's exactly how it went down. And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, I believe that. Mm-hmm. That's how different things were. Mm-hmm. Because those things could and did happen.
We had a break-in at the school one year when we had the market. Night watchman or deputy came by and asked, "White, did you see anybody driving up towards school?" "Yeah, such and such color pickup." "Okay." He went to that. He knew who the kid was that drove that type pickup. He's got ink all over his hands from the computers that he had.
The typewriters.
Oh, man.
I don't know if he ever knew that White turned him in. Well, he didn't turn him in. He just said what was driving around.
Yeah, you can't get away with much in small towns. At least you couldn't back then. But even the police were different then. Constables and sheriffs. Like, if when I was in high school, if there were some kids who were drinking who shouldn't have been, but everybody's hanging out at what used to be like the Piggly Wiggly or the Foodland parking lot. Cops would just come, find out who was drinking, escort them home.
Take them home
Right. Have them pour it out and just take them home. Mm-hmm. Escort them home or take them home. Mm-hmm. And would, you know, knock on the door and make sure the parents knew. But nobody was going to jail. The police seemed to were much more integrated into the community in a way that it was about peacekeeping more than it was patrolling.
Can you imagine being a police officer today?
No.
I mean,
their lives are on the state.
You know.
No, I can't.
It's just over nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Over nothing.
You'll get shot over $3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've seen a lot of changes, and I don't know. I'm always fascinated to hear old stories. One of the best things I could remember doing when I was young, when I first started working for my dad, is on those mornings before I'd go to school, that dad may bring us down to the restaurant. If it was raining, we wouldn't ride our bikes, right? So I'd go down and I would sit with all the church elders and just listen to them talk about all the grapevine activity going on in Taylor. And just everybody knew everybody's business, you know. Everybody knew who was cheating on who. Everybody knew. I mean,
The Harper Valley PTA.
It was still in a town of 1,000, so a lot of that still goes on.
My jaw's on the floor because I'm hearing things just like, oh yeah, you remember Sally? Yeah, Sally married to Jim. Well, she was messing around with Cole coming in on the railroad, and he gave her a special horn every time he was coming into town, and he would blow it a certain way, and so she knew to meet up with him, at wherever. It's like, what? He was like, oh yeah, this is the way things went down.
But so many people from bigger cities, they can't even appreciate this conversation at all.
Yeah.
Even the elderly didn't have this experience that we have in the country life.
Yeah.
They don't have no idea what we're talking about.
And everybody just kind of let everybody be. While everybody knew everybody else's business, everybody wasn't in everybody else's business, right? I mean, you knew who was sort of a shyster, and you knew who were the good people, and you knew who was doing some shady stuff, but it wasn't like there were mass movements to try to shut them down, to try to get them arrested, to, out them publicly. It's like, everybody already knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of all baked into the cake. Right. It is what the community is composed of. And everybody just sort of accepted that these were the personalities. These were the actions and activities that happened. And it was your own reality TV show without realizing, that things were actually different other places. Mm-hmm.
And time just flies. I mean, we've been here 23 years already.
Isn't that crazy?
And your family's been in the barbecue, 60 or 70 years?
We started in 46, so it's 80 years now. We started a business in 49, so, 76, 77 to 80 years. It's a long time.
Crazy. Yeah. And yours is, didn't yours
Stanley's
family
is 66 this year. Of course, I've only been there 21 years. It's Stanley's has been 66 years, but it was two other barbecue places before that in the same place. So the history goes back even a little bit further.
And the 21 years just seems like yesterday, practically.
It really does.
It's, you always said that older ones always tell you how time flies, and it's so true. The days get longer and the years get shorter.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the full conversations with Aaron Franklin, Joe Zavala, or Carrie and Tootsie down at Snow's Barbecue, go back and check them out. Links are in the description. These are the kind of stories we started this show for, so hope you're enjoying them. And don't forget, Plate or Hate is still open. Send us your barbecue plates, your brisket, ribs, sides, the good, the bad, and definitely the questionable. Tag us on Instagram. It's going to be smokeless_podcast, and definitely follow us there too. And we might put your plate in front of myself, Justin, or Wayne, and let you know what we think. So we'll be back more with Smokeless soon. On behalf of Wayne and Justin and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.